Neela stepped close to the side of the pallet and looked down at the unconscious form.
That's him?
She sounded almost disappointed.
That's Boba Fett?
No. From the pile of gear in the subchamber's corner, Dengar picked up a battered helmet, etched with the digestive fluids of the Sarlacc's gullet. He turned the helmet's narrow-visored gaze toward Neela. This is Boba Fett. She shrank back from the empty helmet, a sudden fear showing in her widened eyes.
That's what I saw.
Her voice was a barely audible whisper.
And I knew it was him.
That's how everybody knows him, all through the galaxy. Dengar nodded toward the figure on the pallet. Not very many creatures have seen him like that. Or if they have, they didn't live to tell about it. Neela turned a somber gaze toward him. The dark spaces in her eyes, and what might lie beyond them, unnerved him as much as the empty helmet. He turned away to set it back down on the rest of Boba Fett's gear.
Remember, said Neela, don't tell him. Don't tell him anything about me.
By the time Dengar turned back around, the female had slipped out of the subchamber. Then, everything was settled by the time Bossk showed up in the banquet hall of the Bounty Hunters Guild's headquarters. The council's long crescent-shaped table had been set for a celebratory banquet. A scurrying servant had set a crystalline goblet in front of Boba Fett. He had touched the dark liquid within with a gloved fingertip, just enough to send a few ripples across its surface. Etiquette demanded that much. Kradosk and all the other Bounty Hunters Guild elders could befuddle themselves with strong drink if they wished. This goblet's contents would remain untasted. Boba Fett watched as the tall, arched doors of the council chamber were shoved open, the gilded and gem-encrusted panels flying to either side as Bossk stormed in.
Ah, my son and heir.
Kradosk was already well on the way to inebriation.
I was hoping you'd be here for the festivities.
More wine slopped down Kradosk's scaled arm and from his elbow as he lifted his own goblet high.
We'll tell the musicians to strike up the old songs, and we'll do a lizard dance all around the courtyard.
The goblet went clattering across the chamber's terrazzo floor, the wine a ragged pennant on the inlaid tiles, as Bossk knocked it from his sire's hand with one swing of his clawed hand. The collective gaze of the council members turned toward their chief and his enraged offspring.
Your manners, said Kradosk softly, are severely lacking, as usual. As is your understanding.
Bossk spoke with a cold control.
What kind of brain-withered old fool shares wine with his enemy?
He flung a gesture toward Boba Fett.
This man has made fools of the guild more times than we can count. He's taken the credits out of our pockets and the food out of our mouths.
He looked back at his sire.
If you weren't drunk, you'd take what's fallen into your grasp and sink your teeth into Boba Fett's heart.
I wasn't drunk when he arrived here.
Kradosk's response was both mild and somewhat amused.
But I intend to get very drunk and very happy now that we've all had a chance to listen to him. He has made us an offer that solves a great many problems for all of us. Boba Fett has asked for membership in the guild.
That's impossible.
Bossk's claws tightened into fists.
Why would he do something like that?
Fett regarded the reptilian with no show of emotion.
I have my reasons.
I bet you do.
And are they not good reasons?
A council elder swiveled its eye stalks toward Bossk.
Should not all propositions make such excellent sense? For all of us, do we not gain the benefit of the esteemed Boba Fett's skills, known throughout the galaxy?
A saw-edged forelimb gestured toward Fett on the other side of the table.
And does not he acquire thereby the many advantages that come with membership in our guild?
He's lying to you!
Bossk looked across the faces of the other council members.
Can't you see that? It's some plan of his, like all his other plans.
What you don't see,
said Boba Fett,
"is how the times have changed. The bounty hunting trade is being squeezed into a tighter and tighter corner."
Some of the words Fett used were straight from what Kudar Mubat, back at its web drifting in space, had told him. They were true enough, or at least to the point where they would be believed by these fools on the Guild Council.
"Not just by the Empire, there are others. Black Sun."
He merely had to mention the name of the criminal organization for that point to be made. The whispers turned into guarded silence.
"We must band together to survive. We either join forces, you and I, or we go our separate ways and await our separate destruction."
"Should you not thank Boba Fett?"
The elder, standing near Bosk, made a sweeping gesture with his serrated forearm.
"For your sake, has he not repeated what he already has so eloquently stated to us?" "And you fell for it,"
Bosk sneered at all the council members, his father included.
"You don't have the guts to fight him, so you'd rather believe that he's on your side now."
Boba Fett raised his inner estimation of the Trandoshan bounty hunter, but Bosk's smarts and his fierce temper were weapons to be turned against him and the others.
"You'll see, my little one."
Kradosk roused himself into an approximation of sobriety.
"If I didn't love you the way I do, I'd have your scaly hide peeled off and tanned into a wall hanging for our new members' quarters. I'm not asking you to be brothers with Boba Fett. I'm telling you to do it."
"Very well." The slits in Bosk's eyes narrowed into apertures a honed razor might have cut. The Trandoshan stepped up to the crescent-shaped table directly in front of Boba Fett. One clawed hand grasped his goblet by its stem.
"To your health."
Bosk drained the contents.
"You might fool the others," he whispered, "but you're not fooling me. I don't know what your game is, but I don't worry about you knowing mine."
His voice dropped lower and more guttural as he brought his snout almost against the visor of Fett's helmet.
"I'll be a brother to you, all right. And I know how, believe me. I had brothers when I was spawned, and you know what?"
Bosk's breath smelled of wine and blood.
"I ate them."
Bosk turned and strode away toward the council chamber's doors.
"You've been a long time away," said the Emperor.
The ancient withered head slowly nodded.
"Many are the stars you travel among. All my journey is in your service."
Prince Shizor inclined his head, a courtly signal of submission. The dark serpent of his topknot brushed across his shoulder.
"And to the glory of the Empire. Well spoken, as always."
Emperor Palpatine swiveled his throne toward another section of the immense room.
"Whatever else might be said of him, you must agree that the prince has a way with words. Don't you think so, Vader?"
Shizor turned toward the holograph of the dark-caped figure, an intimidatingly life-sized image transmitted from the Devastator, Lord Vader's personal flagship.
"Your judgment, my lord, exceeds mine."
Vader kept his own words as diplomatically inscrutable as the mask that concealed his face.
"You know best where to place your trust."
"Sometimes, Vader, I think you'd prefer it if I trusted no one but you."
The Emperor put his fingertips together and contemplated the empty cage formed by his hands.
"I see into so many creatures' hearts, and all I find there is fear. Which is as it should be. But when I look into yours, Vader, I see something else. Something almost like desire."
"It is only the desire to serve you,"
said Lord Vader.
"And the Empire."
"Of course. What else could it be?
Palpatine smiled indulgently, an effect no less intimidating than any other expression that moved across his age-creased face.
But I am surrounded by those who wish to serve me.
Shizor, for one.
The Emperor's hand gestured toward him.
He says all the same things as you do.
Actions, said Shizor with cold hauteur,
indicate more than words. Judge my loyalty by what I achieve for the Empire.
And what is that?
Vader's image turned the force of his penetrating gaze upon Shizor.
You scurry about on your mysterious self-appointed errands. Your rounds of those whose devotion to our cause is somewhat less than ideal. Criminals, conspirators, thieves, and builders of their own little empires. You know too many of those types, Shizor. I sometimes wonder what their attraction is for you.
There is no attraction for me, Lord Vader.
As always before, Shizor wondered just how much Vader knew, how much he might suspect, and how much he could prove. Vader's disdain for the galaxy's less reputable schemers and thugs was well known. He dealt with such as bounty hunters only on rare occasions, which is to my benefit, thought Shizor. For Vader and the Imperial High Command, criminals and mercenaries were all vermin that would be swept away and soon if their latest plans went as expected. So that kind is left to me. He had built his own shadow empire, that of the Black Sun, out of exactly such rejected dregs. If the Emperor and Vader didn't want to dirty their hands, then he had no such tender scruples.
I do what I must, said Shizor, not untruthfully.
The fact that he was still standing here in Emperor Palpatine's private sanctuary and not cut down by the Emperor or Vader's swift wrath indicated that Black Sun still operated in the eclipse of its secrecy. For now, thought Shizor. He turned toward the Emperor.
This sacrifice, he lied, I also make on your behalf. Judge as well those who think it beneath them.
The Emperor leaned forward.
Let us set aside, for the time being, all this fractious comparison between your loyalty and that of Lord Vader. You say you have been busy on my behalf.
The Emperor settled back in the throne.
Very well. Your doings are not something which you have discussed with either Lord Vader or myself. Either you have shown commendable initiative or foolhardy rashness.
Any trace of amusement had drained out of the Emperor's voice.
Now is your chance to convince me that the former is the case.
Shizor had known that this time would come. It was one thing to go out and set one's schemes in motion. That was the easy part. But it was another to come back here and defend those schemes when one's life or death depended upon eloquence. And, he thought, lying eloquence at that.
As great as your empire is, my lord, it is still at peril. You say nothing new?
Contempt showed in the Emperor's eyes.
That is the same thing that my admirals tell me. They are not believers as Lord Vader is. They doubt the existence of any power that they cannot unleash with the push of a button. They doubt, even when they've had the edifying experience of feeling the Force crushing the life out of them.
An unwavering hand raised and pointed toward Shizor.
You're not such a fool, are you?
Shizor bowed his head.
I do not doubt, my lord. That's why I'm still listening to you.
The Emperor's hand lowered and stroked the arm of the throne.
My patience is such, however, that I listen to the Imperial Admirals as well, fools that they are. Even fools say wise things from time to time.
Shizor folded his arms across his chest.
The quality of those who serve my lord is exactly that on which I need to speak. Go on,
the Emperor gestured toward Shizor.
You have my full attention. Make sure you use it well.
Caesar had prepared for this moment. The words were already chosen. He had only to speak them, and then await the outcome of his gamble.
The Empire, by its very nature, destroys that which it needs to grow and survive. Take the Imperial Stormtroopers, for example. You have trained them to obey, to fight, and to die in the service of the Empire, but not to think. The same holds true with practically everyone else throughout the Empire's chain of command, right up to the topmost ranks. Most of your underlings, my lord, lack any creative spark, any capability of deep analysis or real cunning. That's all been beaten out of them, crushed by your power. But the fledgling elements of the rebellion do possess those characteristics. That's why they're in the rebellion. Foolish they may be, to the point of being suicidal. Nevertheless, their rebellious nature is exactly that which makes them a threat to the Empire.
The Emperor nodded, mulling over Caesar's words. He raised his head, showing his unpleasant smile.
So, what would you have me do about my servants? Perhaps I should just be kinder to them. Would that work? Or else I should just throw away the power I hold over them? But then, what power would I have left? It's not a matter of throwing away power, my lord. Even as they are, your servants have their uses. Your admirals obey your orders. That is sufficient for them. The Imperial Stormtroopers are tools for creating the desired level of terror on your subject planets. They would be less terrifying if they were capable of thought. But what you must find are other tools, ones that are not within the absolute grasp of your power. If a vibroblade's edge is sharp enough to cut both ways, then he who uses it must be careful. But the only thing more dangerous than picking it up is the failure to do so. You've thought this over a great deal, Prince Caesar.
The Emperor's cold, deep-set eyes studied him.
You seek to convince me.
Very well. You have. To some degree. But what I haven't heard from you is what these sharp-edged tools are that I should bend to my purposes.
That answer is very simple, said Caesar. The tools you need are those individuals known as the bounty hunters. They have an entrepreneurial attitude rarely found, if ever, among your followers.
Sewers,
grated Vader.
And the vermin that live in them are better dealt with by draining rather than lying down in them.
The rebellion doesn't have the same sort of scruples that you do, Lord Vader.
Caesar regarded the black-robed figure through narrowed eyes.
And that is why the rebellion is a growing danger to us. The rebels' desperation leads them to places that the Imperial Stormtroopers and all our spies and informers are incapable of entering. Or if they do go in there, they don't come back out, except as corpses. The creatures that live in those shadows may be scum, but they are clever scum for the most part. The rebellion can deal with them, but the Empire can't. We need intermediaries that are just as clever and ruthless. And the only ones that fit the requirements are the bounty hunters.
Even if what you say is true, said Palpatine, there are still problems with the course you recommend.
You still have not convinced me that these bounty hunters are the efficient tools you say they are.
The Emperor grasped the throne's arms and leaned forward, his gaze boring into the slit pupils of Caesar's eyes.
There is little that I do not know of in this galaxy. And I know a great deal about Boba Fett and the others, the ones who belong to the Bounty Hunters Guild. Before you ever came to my court, I was aware of Fett. He wears the armor of the Mandalorian warriors. He's earned the right to that armor by his own prowess. Lord Vader possesses some of the knowledge that belonged to the Mandalorians. I possess more. Believe me, you deal with Boba Fett at your own peril. But in that, he is unique among the bounty hunters. You recommend them to me as tools that I can use against the rebellion. I say that indicates you are a fool, Caesar. The Bounty Hunters Guild is an organization of senile, aging creatures and incompetent young bumblers.
Deep disgust sounded in the Emperor's voice.
The guild members band together and cling to each other because they know they would have no chance in the galaxy on their own. That's why Boba Fett has nothing to do with them.
On that point, my lord, I must respectfully offer a correction.
Shizor smiled.
Boba Fett has applied for membership in the Bounty Hunters Guild at my instigation. He does not know that it was my idea that he should do so, or that his actions in this matter served the purposes of the Empire. I used an intermediary to plant the notion in Boba Fett's head, one whose discretion is sufficient for this task.
Shizor had no intention of revealing his involvement with the assembler Kudar Mubat. To do so would only heighten Vader's suspicions about his network of shady and outright criminal contacts.
As with everything he does, Boba Fett's actions in this matter are motivated by his own greed. My intermediary convinced Boba Fett to join the guild, not to be one of the guild's members, but to be the agent of its destruction.
The Emperor nodded in appreciation.
I begin to see aspects of your guile, Prince Shizor, of which I had not been aware. In your service, my lord. The Bounty Hunters Guild is in many ways a microcosm of the Republic that your empire has replaced. An aging bureaucratic conglomerate with its best days far behind it. Where once the guild was nearly as ruthless and efficient as Boba Fett, it now parcels out assignments to its members, divides up territories and responsibilities, pays off the galaxy's various law enforcement agencies, shares out the steadily diminishing proceeds to its members, always with more going to the leadership, less to the lower-ranking bounty hunters who are still doing the hard and dangerous work upon which the organization depends. So, naturally, those younger members, if they have any intelligence and self-interest at all, spend more time trying to claw their way up through the guild's ranks than actually chasing bounties.
Shizor let his own contempt sound in his voice. The fate of the Bounty Hunters Guild was something that he was not going to let happen to his criminal empire, Black Sun. In that, he had taken a leaf from Emperor Palpatine's book. Autocracy, even tyranny, was how one kept an organization tough and alive.
The Republic deserves to die, Prince Shizor.
The Emperor raised one hand from the throne's arm.
It sounds as if you have passed a similar judgment upon the Bounty Hunters Guild.
I did that which I knew you would want me to do, my lord. Your attention is focused upon the weightiest matters of the galaxy, and its transformation from indolence and democracy to a hard, shining instrument of your will. The fate of the Bounty Hunters Guild is but a small part of that process, and easily achieved. The guild is tottering, riven by the antagonistic forces it contains. Each group will try to bring Boba Fett exclusively onto their side. And thus the delicate balance that has kept the guild in one piece will be destroyed.
You've put much thought into this, Prince Shizor.
The Emperor's bony finger pointed toward him.
If all goes as you believe it will, then there will be rewards for you as well.
How can it not proceed as I have envisioned?
Shizor raised his head, bringing his eyes straight into the Emperor's intimidating gaze.
My intermediary has convinced Boba Fett of the advantages he will gain by the destruction of the Bounty Hunters Guild. That is why he has gone along with this scheme. With the guild broken up and dispersed, nothing would stand between Boba Fett and complete control of the galaxy's bounty hunter trade. The fees he charges for his services are already astronomical. With no competition to turn to, clients such as the Hutts would have to pay whatever Fett demands.
That may be so,
said Vader.
But what benefit does the Empire derive from the destruction of the Bounty Hunters Guild? We can already pay Boba Fett anything he asks for. but I see no advantage in being forced to pay him more than he's worth.
What the Empire gets, replied Shizor, is a return to the time before the creation of the Bounty Hunters Guild. A time when the galaxy's mercenaries were all as independent, hungry, and ruthless as Boba Fett. A time when they were at each other's throats with no pretense of brotherhood. The Empire needs many creatures like Boba Fett, hungry and greedy and independent enough to carry out our dirty work. The younger bounty hunters in the guild chafe at its weight pressing upon their shoulders, its chains tangled around their feet. To destroy the Bounty Hunters Guild would be to free them right into the service of the Empire.
You overvalue these scum.
I think not,
the Emperor interrupted Vader. Prince Shizor speaks truly when he says that the forces under my command cannot do that which the Bounty Hunters are capable of. Or that they would be capable of if the guild were eliminated. The prince is right. These tools will be sharp and murderous indeed. The Emperor's cruel smile faded. Shizor, you have taken a considerable gamble in proceeding with your little scheme before consulting with me. If you had not been successful in convincing me of its worth, the consequences to you would have been severe.
I know that, my lord, but time and events press upon us. The rebellion's forces are not waiting for us to put our affairs in order.
Lord Vader's image shook its head.
Better that our trust should be put in the Force. Its power is greater than anything that can be derived from all these petty manipulations.
Advise me not, Lord Vader.
The Emperor's anger flared.
You have some training in the Force's ways. You have even exceeded the training given to you by your vanished Jedi masters. But do not presume to consider yourself my equal.
Shizor kept his silence, watching the confrontation between Palpatine and the black-garbed figure standing before him.
Let him suffer the Emperor's wrath, he thought, with a measure of satisfaction.
The Emperor's seductive powers had created Vader, the call of the Force's dark side, turning him into what he now was. The Emperor could destroy Vader as well. Shizor was sure of it.
And if that happened, then my most powerful enemy would be gone.
And worlds would open before him. The rays of the Black Sun would reach even farther across the galaxy. Perhaps even as far as the shadows of the Emperor's hand. There would be another reward as well if Vader's destruction came about, an even more satisfying one, the reward of vengeance accomplished. Vader had no idea yet of the hatreds Shizor directed toward whatever was left of his heart. The Imperial records had been wiped clean. Shizor's credits and power had seen to that of any trace of the deaths of his family on the planet Feline. Deaths brought about by Vader's own experiments in developing new forms of biological weaponry for the Empire. Shizor's parents, his brother and sisters, along with 250,000 other innocent Felines, had been reduced to ashes by the sterilization lasers Vader's orders had turned upon the bacterial outbreak. But those ashes were still hot in Shizor's own heart. With his face a mask, except for his narrowed gaze, he watched his enemy.
I mean no presumption, my lord.
Darth Vader bowed his head in submission.
Yet it irks you if I show favor to another of my servants.
The Emperor smiled and nodded slowly. His withered hand pointed to Vader and Shizor in turn.
Your animosity toward each other serves my purposes well. There is never a moment when you are not at each other's throats, seeking what advantage you can in your struggle to please me. So be it. It keeps your teeth sharp. That is why I think Prince Shizor's scheme has a chance of succeeding. The bounty hunters will be to each other what the two of you are, hungry and ruthless.
The struggle will end someday, with one of you destroying the other. I'm not sure which one of you will be the victor, and I do not greatly care either.
The Emperor appeared to savor the possibilities.
In the meantime, the Empire enjoys the benefits of your little war. One that I will win, thought Shizor. And after that it would be time for other plans and schemes.
For all his respectful words, the Force and the Emperor's mastery of it meant nothing to him. Of what use was the greatest power in the universe, if it even existed at all and wasn't just some figment of Vader and Palpatine's imaginations, when it was in the hands of a fool, an aging one at that, so obsessed with the rebellion that he would allow a greater danger to him to walk the corridors of his palace?
He doesn't know, thought Shizor.
Despite having given himself over to the dark side of the Force, Emperor Palpatine didn't suspect what was still hidden in the shadows surrounding him.
Go about your self-appointed business, Shizor.
The Emperor made a dismissive gesture.
I will want to hear of your success.
Shizor couldn't help smiling to himself as he left the presence of the Emperor and his chief servant. There would be successes, of that he was confident, but not the kind they expected.
I must warn you, my lord.
The great doors to the throne room had sealed shut once again, leaving Vader in private consultation with the Emperor.
Better you should surround yourself with fools than one with such ambitions.
Your warning is acknowledged, Lord Vader.
Emperor Palpatine gave a knowing smile.
But it is hardly necessary. Prince Shizor likes to keep secrets from me. But I see more deeply into his heart than he realizes.
Then let me eliminate him for you, and remove the possibility of his treachery.
And eliminate as well the value he has for me.
The Emperor slowly shook his head.
He is a sharp-edged tool in himself, Vader. There is a great satisfaction that comes from turning a sentient creature's own strengths against him. His time will come.
He gave the same gesture of dismissal.
Now, go.
The Emperor turned his throne toward the stars, the vast reaches that extended before him.
I have other things to contemplate.
The first quarters they gave Boba Fett were hung with silken brocades. The richly worked tapestries mirrored in the floors inlaid with precious metals.
I don't think so,
he said to Kradosk's majordomo, Ob Fortuna, an obsequious Twi'lek like the one so often encountered in high-level service positions. Fett prevailed upon the majordomo to move him to a more Spartan residence in the guild compound. It didn't take much to convince the nervously smiling and bowing creature to accede to his wishes.
This'll do fine.
Boba Fett looked away from the Twi'lek and scanned the bare stone walls of the cubicle carved from the planetoid's underlying rock strata.
Leave me.
But of course.
Bowing, the majordomo backed away toward the rough-hewn door.
I await your fearsomeness's commands.
Fine. Do it at a distance. That's all I need from you right now.
And Boba Fett kicked the door shut. He could hear the majordomo's steps running down the corridor, the sounds fading away until the space was silent, except for the slow drip of water in one corner. Fett watched as a swarm of small creatures scurried in the room. Vermin and cold didn't bother him. He'd been in worse places. And this one had the advantage of being easily scoured for bugs, the kind that would report one's words to Kradosk and his advisors. He didn't anticipate spending much time here. He'd really only wanted to give Kradosk a chance to display his hospitality and subterfuge. He didn't have long to wait. A knock sounded on the splintered planks of the door.
So, we are to be brothers in the guild.
Bosk stood in the doorway, his slit-pupiled eyes showing both resentment and a primitive guile.
How pleasant that shall be for both of us.
That matters little to me. I take pleasure in my work and in getting paid for it.
I'd find my pleasures the same way if it weren't for you.
You speak of the past. Have you forgotten already what your father said? A new time has begun for us, for all bounty hunters.
Ah, yes, my father. He speaks of great and noble things. He always has. It's one of the reasons I despise him. The day will come when I sharpen my teeth on the shards of his bones.
Family matters don't interest me. Boba Fett shrugged. It had been obvious to him for a long time why Trandoshans were not a numerous species.
You might fool a senile old lizard like my father, but you don't fool me.
Bosk grinned.
I know exactly why you came here.
And why would that be?
You came asking to become a member of the Bounty Hunters Guild, not because things are changing out there.
Bosk waved his clawed and scaled hand, indicating the reaches beyond the mold-encrusted ceiling.
But because the Guild is changing, or it's just about to, you know it isn't going to be long before I'm running things.
I see that you are very clever. Just not clever enough, thought Fett.
Flatter me some other time, why don't you? After we've taken over the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Bosk smiled.
When I slice up my father's carcass, I'll save you one of the best pieces.
The Twi'lek Majordomo had other household duties as well, chief among which was spying. He bowed his head, an obsequious grin on his face.
Your son has just concluded a conversation with the unsavory individual known as Boba Fett. The conversation proceeded just as you in your ever-present wisdom predicted it would.
I'm not surprised.
Kradosk's blunt claws fumbled with the catches of his ceremonial robes.
But aren't you concerned?
The Twi'lek's tapering head-tail swung forward as he gathered up the robes.
About what the two of them found to talk about? Your son has, shall we say...
The Twi'lek smile was a combination of nerves and obsequiousness.
A bit of a conspiratorial streak.
Kradosk sat down on the edge of a canopied pallet.
Of course I'm not concerned. I don't intend to wind up on my son's dinner plate. Things go as I predict them, not because of any wisdom I might possess, but because of a tiresome lack of wisdom on other creatures' parts.
The thought depressed Kradosk. All the burdens of leadership weighed upon his shoulders. There was no one to help him guide the Bounty Hunters Guild through these perilous shoals in which conspiratorial enemies thronged like pack sharks. Not even his own son.
I shouldn't have been so easy on him when he was just a little reptile.
Someone is here to see you.
The Majordomo made a few adjustments to Kredosk's garb.
Did you call for him? Should I grant him admittance?
Yes, to both questions.
The fawning Twi'lek was getting on his nerves.
And your presence is not required. Maybe I should eat him,
brooded Kradosk as he drew on a lounging robe stitched together from the skins of former employees. Standards were becoming deplorably lax among the guild's hirelings. The Majordomo ushered in the bounty hunter Zuckus, then disappeared on the other side of the door he closed behind himself.
I came as quickly as I could.
Zuckus was visibly nervous.
Calm yourself.
Kradosk lowered himself into a folding campaign chair.
There's something I need you to do for me.
He tilted his head to one side, displaying an uneven, insinuating smile.
You've worked with my son, Bosk, on a couple of jobs, so you're loyal to him, aren't you?
There was no hesitation before Zuckus spoke.
Of course, absolutely.
Well, get over it.
The partial smile disappeared as Kradosk slouched back in the campaign chair.
Your loyalty is to me. And that's for a very simple reason. There's some rough times coming around here. You want to be one of those that survive the shakeout, because the alternative is death.
What is it you want me to do?
Kradosk leaned forward.
You've heard about the Ofnar Dini job?
Of course, everybody in the guild is talking about it.
It's very simple.
Kradosk rested both his hands on the bony arms of the campaign chair.
You're going to go out with the team that my son Bosk is putting together to snag this particular piece of merchandise named Ofnar Dinid from the shell huts. He has already enlisted the participation of the newest member of the guild, Boba Fett. The difference between you and Bosk, however, is that you'll be coming back.
It took a few seconds, but illumination finally struck Zuckus.
Oh.
The nod was even slower this time.
I see.
I'm glad you do.
Kradosk gestured toward the door.
We'll talk some more later.
When Zuckus had left, Kradosk shambled into the memory bone chamber connected to the sitting room. He wandered through the chamber's ivory-lined recesses until he came to the oldest and tiniest bones. Kradosk let a couple of them rest in his palm. Tooth marks showed on the bones' surfaces from little teeth that hadn't yet been dulled by the coarse flesh of enemies. Those teeth had been his when he'd just barely been out of his mother's egg sack. The bones were those of his spawn brothers, hatched just a few seconds later, and too late for them. Kradosk sighed, mulling over the wisdom he'd been created with and that which had taken him so long to achieve. He carefully set his brother's bones back in the hollow of polished rock where he kept them. This was why lesser entities like that moronic Twi'lek or that Zuckus would never understand about family loyalty and honor. He pitied creatures like that. They simply had no sense of tradition. The Twi'lek pushed the door to the sitting room open a crack just enough to see what the old Trandoshan was up to. Kradosk had gone into his chamber of grisly souvenirs. Good, thought the Twi'lek. Plenty of time, then. The Twi'lek slid the door shut without making a sound and strode quickly toward another section of the Bounty Hunters Guild compound, to Bosk's quarters.
Excellent, said the younger Trandoshan after listening to the Twi'lek's report. You're sure of all this?
But of course. The Twi'lek made no attempt to conceal the wickedness of his smile.
I can decipher the old fool like a data readout. And I can tell you this for a fact. He believes that you are blindly following his scheme.
Sitting in a gold-hinged campaign chair, Bosk nodded in approval.
I suppose my father had all sorts of things to say about his wisdom and all the rest of that nerf dung.
The usual.
That must be the hardest part of your job, said Bosk, listening to fools talk.
You have no idea, thought the Twi'lek.
I've gotten used to it.
Bosk gave another slower nod.
The time is coming when you won't have to listen to that particular fool any longer. When I'm running the Bounty Hunters Guild, things will be different.
I certainly expect so.
More of the same, the Twi'lek told himself. He was careful to keep his thoughts from showing on his face.
In the meantime,
there will be a nice little transfer of credits to your private account for all your services.
Bosk dismissed him with a simple gesture of his upraised claws.
You can go now.
The Twi'lek felt a warm glow of satisfaction as he headed back to his own quarters.
That fool is right about one thing.
He was doing a good job. For himself. Boba Fett stood up from the stone bench. If he stayed here any longer, there would be others coming to talk to him. Others who were already fatally enmeshed in the trap spun by Kudar Mubat. So far away that he couldn't be seen, or the tugs on the strands of his web even felt. Besides Bosk, there had been one of Kradosk's top advisors on the Guild Council, and Zuckus, and the Twi'lek Major Domo, back for a longer talk than when he'd brought Fett to this dank chamber. All of them had been in pure deal-cutting mode, eager to help pull the Bounty Hunters Guild apart so they would get a bigger piece of whatever was left in the wreckage.
Right now, he didn't feel like talking to anyone else. What he wanted to do right now was head back to the Slave One, his refuge docked at the edge of the Guild's main compound, lock himself behind its overlapping security layers, all systems primed to fry anyone who tried to breach them, and rest. If not the sleep of the virtuous, Fett had no illusions about that or regrets, then at least the sleep of someone who had put in a good day's work. In his business, that meant helping others arrange their own destructions.